Mr. Chief Justice, may it please the court.
Before you commence, let me share with you at least my primary concern with this case. I think all lawyers agree that the problem being discussed here today is a very serious one, important for the public and the profession. The delivery of legal services in our country obviously is defective. The problem that I think concerns all of us on this bench and at the bar is what to do about it. Lawyers have advertised, to some extent always. Anybody who knows about Martindale can find out where lawyers went to school, how old they are, and until recently at least, who their clients were. They can also find out what areas of specialization lawyers profess to be competent to practice. I hope you'll have time to address not just the bare bones issue of whether or not there can be any advertising. I don't perceive that as the basic issue in this case. The question is what limits rationally, fairly, constitutionally may be imposed. Who imposes those limits, and how are they enforced? These are the broader contours of the problem. We could decide this case and may very well do it in a very narrow way, but that wouldn't advance the resolution of the fundamental problem.
Let me address myself directly to that question, Mr. Justice Powell. I think we start with the basic issue that has been suggested in this case is a narrow one, whether there can be an absolute ban on all advertising. And the position of the United States is that this absolute ban imposed by the state of Arizona goes beyond the permissible limits of the First Amendment. It's inconsistent with the First Amendment because of the strong interest in members of the public in getting information about legal services, both their availability and their cost. Now, we also, of course, recognize there's a very strong interest in ensuring high ethical standards at the bar, as this court has indicated, both because of the critical role that lawyers play in the administration of justice and their role as officers of the court. Obviously, lawyers do not stand in exactly the same position as the average merchant who is selling a standardized product. He is selling a special service. But we think that the First Amendment requires that any restraints that the state does impose upon the dissemination of information by lawyers to the public as potential clients cannot go beyond what is necessary adequately to protect the state's interests. Now, that ultimate balancing in First Amendment cases has to be done by the courts. Of course, the state has the power to prevent misleading, deceptive, false advertising by lawyers. And the state has a broader authority than that. There may be many things that a merchant can do that it is not proper for a lawyer to do, because it is important. It is important to this country that the people of this country have a high regard for the legal profession because of its critical role in the administration of justice. But we don't think that because of the importance that the lawyers play in the legal system and in the operation of our country, that this means the bar can say there can be no advertising at all. We don't think the bar can go that far. Now, there are problems, of course, of policing these things. And I might just add in passing that we have indicated in our brief that there's some recent indications of suggestions of what would be permissible. We're not espousing any of these. All that we cite these for is to point out that the problem is not to us an all or nothing problem. It isn't either there can be no advertising or that there's got to be enormous discretion. There have to be some limitations. Now, one of the problems...
May I interrupt you just a minute right there? I think we start from the premise that some advertising already is permitted. So the total ban issue, as I perceive it, is not here. You do have the extent of the ban under the Arizona rule. But, Mr. Canby, stated quite explicitly that he thought the First Amendment entitled lawyers to talk about the quality of their services. What is the government's position on that?
Well, that, it seems to me, again, would depend on what is said. If statements with respect to the quality of services are misleading, the state can prohibit them. I don't think a lawyer could publish an ad saying, come to me, I'm a better lawyer than anyone else in town. It seems to me that's not the kind of statement, although permissible to a merchant, that a lawyer could properly state.
I suppose in this case, a competing lawyer had published an ad saying, the partners in this clinic have been practicing divorce law on a part-time basis for 4 years. I'm a specialist in divorce law. I've been practicing it for 20 years. My fees are the same. Is that all right?
I would think the derogatory thing would present problems to me. I would think that it would be permissible if the ad stated merely that if you need a divorce, we have been practicing divorce law for 20 years.
What's derogatory about that comparative statement if it's true?
Well, it seems to me it is derogatory, Mr. Chief Justice, because the suggestion is somehow that we are better than they are, and it's the negative suggestion against them. It seems to me this gets into the area where I think there may be problems with respect to what is permissible.
Well, does the First Amendment prohibit derogatory communication?
No. It isn't that the First Amendment prohibits derogatory communications, Mr. Justice. We think it is that the First Amendment does permit lawyers to get to the public their position, that they are available to the public and indicating what their services are and what they will charge them.
Now, simply saying anything you can do, I can do better.
I don't think that would be permissible, Mr. Justice.
Well, why? If the First Amendment compels the conclusion that you suggest, then where do these limits come from, then?
I think the limits come...
They certainly don't come from the First Amendment.
No, the limits come, I think, Mr. Justice, from the role of the lawyers and the differences, the kind of differences that exist with respect to what is an appropriate kind of regulation of the legal profession.
Since when, under the First Amendment, is a governmental body, this would be a judicial or executive or legislative, allowed to say, to regulate speech?
Well, it's not regulating speech in that sense. What it is saying is that there's certain kinds of things done by lawyers are not consistent with the standards that we accept of lawyers. So if I may give a simple example, I suppose there's no question under the First Amendment that a merchant can put out the most far-reaching and the most sweeping claims for his stuff. Come to our store, the best store in town, don't patronize anyone else, that kind of thing.
Well, there's been no question for something less than a year. A year ago, there would have been a great question whether a merchant had any First Amendment right at all to do that.
But that I think now has to be accepted, that there is a First Amendment protection to commercial speech. But the fact that there is a commercial speech protection under the First Amendment doesn't necessarily mean, as this court itself has suggested in those cases, that when you're dealing with members of the professions, that necessarily there has to be the same sweep to the protection they have as is to be given to the common garden variety of commercial speech. That is, the things that can be said about advertising prescription drugs are not necessarily the same things that can be said when a lawyer brings his message
to
the public.
Obviously, but I wonder where... I can understand this is a court that decides questions of federal, constitutional, or statutory law. The issue here is whether or not the First Amendment of the United States Constitution requires Arizona to do something else than it did. And if it does, then it requires Arizona to allow lawyers to advertise. But now, where do all these limitations come from in federal law, constitutional or statutory?
Well, I think it comes in, Mr. Justice, in the balancing process, in determining just how far the state can go in restraint.
You think it's up to us to say that? Where does our power come from?
Well, in the first instance, it has to be the state that makes the judgment. And the state in this case has not made any judgment other than the judgment that there shall be no advertising at all by lawyers in the state of Arizona. And that's what we think is bad, this absolute ban. Now, if the court agrees with us that the absolute ban is bad, that doesn't mean that you have to go all the way and say that there can be absolutely no limits at all.
Arizona, as my brother Powell has pointed out, doesn't really mean what it has said, does it? It doesn't ban the circulation of Martindale Hubbell in the state of Arizona.
No, but what they're really talking about, it seems to me, is advertising directed to the public. Martindale Hubbell is basically, I think, directed to members of the bar. I think what Arizona does do is bar any advertising by lawyers to the public. Anything that the lawyers do that gets to the public, the lawyer's position of announcing the availability of their services and indicating the costs at which they will furnish them.
The principle of federal constitutional law is that it says Arizona can't do what it did, but another state could prohibit derogatory advertisement by one lawyer about another.
I would think so.
Well, where does that come from?
Where does it come from?
Well, I think it comes from the recognition that the First Amendment protection given to commercial advertising by lawyers is not necessarily have the full force in effect as the First Amendment protection given to commercial advertising by merchants. That it's protected. It is protected by the First Amendment, but the scope of the protection isn't as sweeping as the protection given to the more traditional kinds of commercial
speech. Mr. Friedman, are you not suggesting a distinction based squarely on the content of the advertising, content of the speech?
Yeah, I think I am, Mr. Justice, and I think the court last year in the American Mini Theaters case recognized that there may be situations in which you can refer to the content of the speech.
Well, would you agree that your position must fail unless the court is willing to say that the content may be the basis for differentiating between kinds of protected speech and unprotected speech?
Well, now, Mr. Justice, there are situations, it seems to me, very clearly where the content of the speech does control the measure to which it can be regulated. In the field of commercial advertising, the court pointed out last year that while there was a First Amendment right to distribute and announce the prices at which prescription drugs were being sold, it didn't follow from that that there was a First Amendment right to make false and misleading statements. So it seems to me the court does look to see what the content is. If it's false and misleading, certainly the maker of these statements cannot claim that it's constitutionally protected. I think.
But it seems to me you're taking two different positions. One time you say, you and Mr. Camby both kept saying, well, you can prohibit false and misleading. But Mr. Justice Rehnquist asked you about derogatory. It can be truthfully derogatory.
Well,
is your only line surely is not the false and misleading line, is it?
No, it goes somewhat beyond that. I don't know precisely at what point the line has to be drawn. It seems to me is a line that in the first instance has to be drawn by the state, because the state has the broad regulatory authority over the legal profession.
You gave an example earlier about a merchant puffing, in effect saying he's the best in town or something like that. Are you suggesting that that could be prohibited? For example, could the state say that a lawyer may not advertise that his fees are very reasonable? Which is precisely what this person did.
Well, this person merely stated reasonable fees.
No,
this
very reasonable.
Very reasonable fees. Very reasonable fees.
Is that permissible under your view?
I would think that kind of a statement is permissible.
So some statement of opinion.
Some statement, yes.
Other than the mere fact.
Some statement. But again, I think it has to take into account the whole matrix of the relationship of the bar to the public. That is, there's certain things, it seems to me, that the state fairly can conclude are not properly to be done by members of the bar that could be done by non-professionals.
And one of them may be to advertise at all.
Well,
if what you say is correct.
That's where we disagree, of course.
Well, where do these limitations come from? They either have a First Amendment right to do this, short of defrauding people or being deceptive or false, or they don't.
Well, I...
Where in the Constitution or the federal law, the federal Constitution or any federal statute, do these limitations come from?
I think these limitations derive, Mr. Justice, from the nature of the legal profession and from the fact that traditionally, in evaluating First Amendment rights, there has to be this balancing test. And when you consider a limitation on all advertising as distinguished from a limitation on certain types of advertising, it seems to me the state's interest in restricting certain forms of advertising may be much, much greater than the state's interest in...
It occurs to me that what you're proposing is a considerably more arbitrary standard than the one that Arizona has adopted. Once it has been recognized that there is a First Amendment right to speak or to write, where anywhere has there ever been found any permissible limitation upon it so long as it's true?
But I think, Mr. Justice, I would suggest that...
Where? I'd like to answer that question.
Let me see if I can answer it this way, that in determining what the First Amendment right is, when we say there's a First Amendment right to advertise, that doesn't mean a First Amendment right to advertise any conceivable thing.
Isn't there not a First Amendment right to speak the truth?
There is a First Amendment right, of course, to speak the truth.
Then why can you have any limitations, if you're correct about the First Amendment requiring this? Where does any limitation come from that allows any governmental agency, executive, legislative, or judicial, to impose any limitations on lawyers' rights to speak the truth when they advertise, including saying, I've been practicing divorce law for 20 years and the most experienced divorce lawyer in this community?
Well, I think the latter, it seems to me, I think they could say. I think they could say the latter.
Here are my fees, and they're no higher than any other lawyers.
I think up to that point, yes. Up to that point, yes. But at some point, it seems to me, they may go beyond this, because at some point, they're likely to say things that seemingly are wholly factual, but in fact may not be that factual.
Let me try a balancing on that score with you. You mentioned the balancing process. Suppose this lawyer or law office has advertised wills for $25, and then they put along with the supermarket ads an ad of their own saying, $25 wills, Saturday only, $14.95. Think they could do that?
I would think if they were prepared for any client who came in on Saturday to draw a will for $14.95, although $25 was the regular price, they could state that.
But does anybody know what a $25 will is in the first place?
Well, there may be something deceptive if in fact they never draw wills for $25, but if they say a simple will, $25, and in fact, they are drawing wills for people for $25, it seems to me they could state that. And I think they could also state that on Saturdays, a special for the man who is working 5 days a week and can't come to see us during the week, $14.95. I think they could say that as long as it's truthful. If, in fact, when people came in for their $25 wills or their $14.95 wills, they quickly told them, well, your will is much more complicated, it's going to cost you $150, that would seem to be misleading in the classical, traditional sense. But I don't think they can be stopped from telling the truth.
That's just a bait-and-switch trick. We're not talking about that. We're talking about... Well, you go ahead.
If I may, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, I'd just like very briefly to speak about the Parker against Brown point, which has been discussed briefly here. It seems to us that what the cases in this court, starting with Parker against Brown and going through Cantor, have established is one fundamental principle, that if the action challenge is a violation of the antitrust laws, is in fact action of the state or compelled by the state, it's state action not subject to the strictures of the antitrust laws. Now, in this case, unlike the Virginia case, where all that happened with regard to the fee schedules was that the state approved them or suggested them or authorized them, here the state commands it. It's a rule of the State Bar of Arizona. The state Supreme Court, I'm sorry, the State Supreme Court of Arizona, and if I may just plead this to Chief Justice, the State Supreme Court is the one that exercises the function of the state of Arizona in dealing with lawyer discipline. This is not a case where the Bar Association suggests something and the state Supreme Court says, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. Here, as has been brought out, it's the state Supreme Court, the final arbiter on these matters, that has ordered the lawyers in Arizona not to advertise. It's the state Supreme Court that has disciplined these lawyers for advertising. The state is speaking in this matter through the only agency by which it functions with respect to disciplining of lawyers. And that, it seems to us, is state action under any standard of the term and is therefore not a violation of the Sherman Act. Thank you.